Dear God, may the words that I speak and the words that this congregation hears be yours and yours alone. Amen. Please be seated. So, show of hands, how many of you think that the stewardship committee had access to the lessons before choosing this lesson as In-Gathering Sunday? Just a quick show of hands. Okay. Me too. I tend to think that way. But if we look at the end of our gospel lesson for today, it becomes a little more challenging. So I want you all to take that piece that I know is still in your minds and put it in the parking lot with the promise that we're going to get there, okay? So we have what at the beginning looks like a pretty straightforward parable. We have three different people who, according to their ability, are given talents. Now, a talent in this time is an outrageous sum of money. So a slave could make a talent probably with 20 years of work if they spent nothing that they earned. So we have to understand first how much is being entrusted to these people, each to his own ability. And if we look at it with the most traditional way that preachers tend to translate this passage, we can think about how serendipitous it is that the word talent is what's used for this sum of money. Because we like to say that our stewardship season is not just about the sharing of our monetary blessings, but it's about sharing our time, it's about sharing our talents. It's about giving all that we have and all that we are back to this community and back to the world so that we can call ourselves the church. And so this morning, within the context of the conversation we're going to have, I have a fun project for you. Get excited, it involves crayons. So you will find in your pew racks half sheets of paper and bags of crayons. There's enough for everyone in this church and more, but you might have to share, and that means you might have to talk to your neighbors to make sure everyone gets one, but there are enough for everyone. And we're all going to get to color this morning. As the YPF can tell you, I never ask them to do anything I'm not willing to do myself. So I made a really big pledge card that I'm going to share with you in just a moment. I've intentionally switched the order of the words in the sentence at the top of your half sheet. It's asking you to write or draw the talent that you've been given to share and to grow. In our parable, these slaves were given time that they could grow their talent before needing to present it back. But if we all wait until our talent is the best it can be before we share it, will we ever really put it out there? If I need to be the best singer in the world before I join the choir, there's going to be no one singing from the loft. If I need to be the greatest artist ever known on this earth, then when we have an art show in Hadley Hall, there'll be no paintings for us to enjoy. We're all blessed with extraordinary talents already. And though they may feel like a seed in the fertile soil of our hearts, it takes time to nourish it. And I would say it takes encouragement. And the only way we're going to get that is to share it. And so I'm going to show you mine. And I'm going to start with the caveat that I am not blessed as a great artist. So this is my pledge card for today. It's beautiful, isn't it? It's great. I'm putting myself out there. I gave myself the rule, despite bringing home 5 pieces of poster board, I was not allowed to redraw it. So my talent that I'm going to this year invest in this community, that I'm going to focus on sharing and growing, is my creative thinking. I am not a logical person. It's not a gift I've been given, but I have been given this weird ability to think about situations and come up with creative ways to approach them. And so this year, rather than keeping those things quiet, I'm going to try to find all the ways I can in this community and beyond to use my gift for creative thinking to enrich our lives together as church. And so as we continue talking, I hope that you will be drawing on your pledge cards, and we're going to collect them all when we do the pledge in gathering. And our goal is to make all of the windows in Hadley Hall for next week, Christ the King Sunday, into stained glass windows of our talents. Every one of these pledge cards that's dropped off in the basket will go in one of those window panes, and our goal is to fill every single window pane with your talent. And no, you don't have to put your name on it. And so as we consider the talent that we've been given, like I said, we cannot leave alone the end of this passage. That's where it gets a little bit sticky. That's where it challenges us to consider how we make sense of this passage. And a lot of the times we as preachers leave that part off because it's just easier that way, but we can't do that. And this is where we need to face up to the fact that sometimes the parables that Jesus tells are not a perfect allegory where every character stands for a specific person. If we translate this passage to mean that the master is God, then what kind of a God are we worshiping? If the master is saying, I'm going to give you things that you then have to give me back what I did not earn, you need to get it together for me, and if you don't do a good job with that, I'm going to cast you out into the inner darkness. I'm just done with you. That doesn't sound much like God to me. And so there are a couple different roads that we can take. We could say that this is actually an allegory about society, about our need as the church to grow and share our own talents rather than accepting this wealth from sources unknown, so that we stop the cycle of the rich getting richer and the poor getting poorer. We could look at this as our invitation to see that these slaves had amazing gifts, but they were using them to benefit someone who did not earn it. We could also consider what the outer darkness is. If we're given a tremendous gift, and rather than sharing it and investing it and trying to grow it into something greater than it already is, are we really investing ourselves in God? And if we aren't investing ourselves in God, then maybe we're casting our own selves out into the inner darkness. Maybe we're making a choice by our actions to separate ourselves from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Either way, it doesn't sound like a place where I would want to be. And so as we consider how we're going to dedicate ourselves to this church and to this community and to this world, to our brothers and sisters in Christ, to our brothers and sisters worldwide, I challenge every single one of us to put ego aside and to think about the talent you have been given. We each have been given a unique talent that is specific to who we are. And we each have a responsibility to invest and grow that talent. Now, I told a story at the 8 o'clock service to kind of help us differentiate between Christmas gifts or birthday gifts and the talents that God has blessed us with. And so I share this with you, and I assure you I got my grandmother's permission. There was a Christmas a few years ago, and by a few I mean about 20, but who's counting, where I was so excited to go to my grandmother's house for Christmas morning because grandma gives the best presents. And I watched everyone else open up their presents, and then I opened up mine. And it was a hot pink tartan skirt. I don't know many teenagers who want to wear a hot pink tartan skirt, and I am certainly not one of them. She tried her hardest, but when she looked, she wasn't able to see what I would be able to take and use and be my best self. And I think oftentimes when we think about the gifts that God has given us, we might say, you know what? I feel this inclination for this, but it's just not right for me. So I'm just not going to use it. We might say, you know what? I feel like God has given me this gift, but like Audrey drawing on her pledge card, maybe I just shouldn't share that in public. But friends, that is the great thing about blessings from God. It may not look like society wants it to look like, but if you feel like God has blessed you with it, that's what you need to listen to. When we had our first dinner of the Miriam Circle group, that is a sometimes group of women who are in those middle ages between the young adults and between those who are facing the time where their children have gone off to college. They're somewhere in the middle. We all sat down. There were about 40 of us at the table. And I asked us to introduce ourselves using not our what we do for work and not our families, but what we're passionate about. And what it revealed was 40 women with extraordinary talents that are just waiting to come out and burst forth and be shared. We have poets and artists among us. We have folks who are great with numbers and can make sense of things for others who maybe aren't able to do that for themselves. We have people who are great with their hands, who are strong. We have people who are great intellectuals and wonderful listeners. And we have all of you. So as you color this sheet today and as you prepare to bring it forward for our pledge in gathering, I would invite all of us to take time in the coming weeks and in this year and really listen to what the Holy Spirit has gifted us, to really consider what God is inviting us to show forth into this world and how that might make this parish, the parish of the Epiphany, stronger, more vibrant, and more welcoming as a house of God in Christ. Amen. We believe in one God, the Father.